Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stowett, and you. We are loaded up. I am excited to be back. I am excited to not be a part of jury duty. Good Lord, how I dreaded that. And I'm turning soft in my old age as the air conditioning in your control room and in my studio is on the fritz, right? So bless our friend Eric Taylor's heart. He has turned the fan on and directed it indoors at me. Now, during the next commercial break, Colton's going to open his door and turn the fan on him. And Colton can say, you have fun sweating it out. We'll catch up with Mitch Sherman of The Athletic here at 425. We'll dive into some Hard Knocks, the college edition candidates. I love this option. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet in the 5 o'clock hour. Good story by Derek Peterson. That's not a news flash. That's not a new take. But he had a really cool story and column with, you know, we kind of relish the old Nebraska basketball, air quote, death light up, or what Golden State was able to do, right, with their size, speed, athleticism, and mismatch ability. Well, Nebraska football can do that to you too, potentially. So we'll talk some ball with Derek at 525. Can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free 1-800-825-5865. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com and give us a follow and find us on Twitter. Can at us if you like. Chris Schmidt, that's me, at Schmidt underscore radio. Colton Stone at Two Birds, One Stone. So Colton, we'll get into a little post-practice here with Coach Chenander in a moment. But, you know, you have things continuing to grow and amp up in anticipation for 2019. What should be a return to normalcy for Nebraska football and Nebraska football fans. That's the hope and the feel. 8 wins or more, kind of getting back to that old benchmark and then building and growing and exceeding that in coming years. You know, I look at a lot of things on the table here, but as far as why and reasons to be excited, right? And a lot of it is year two, and a lot of it's more familiarity. A lot of it is, quite honestly, this coaching staff doing their thing and developing guys. So when you hear about a scrimmage from Coach Chenander where, well, the offense came out and really kind of jacked us, but the defense responded and had some good moments. You want that back and forth. You hear Coach McBride talk about it all the time as to what made these teams great. And that was the back and forth, giving as good as you got. And you're starting to hear that that is going on the practice fields when it's scrimmage Saturday. The other thing that I think is not lost on Nebraska fans, and right now you're kind of in that, wow, this guy's fun to watch mode. Mm-hmm. But that this guy's fun to watch mode is going to be this guy's unstoppable mode. Good story by our friends over at 24/7 Sports. And let's play Travis Fisher's comment here from post practice today about I think the question was you know, what's the hardest thing, or you know, who's the most dangerous slash difficult dude on offense. And it's a fair question. And the group you feel and hear really good things about is the secondary, the corners and the safeties. Linebackers are thin, but talented defensive lines, mm-hmm. really deep. But it sounds like you got some dudes at corner and at safety. And here's Travis Fisher on, you know, just who's the toughest dude to slow down on offense.
Who's impressing me on the offense? That's a tough question. There's so many weapons over there. But who worried me the most is Adrian Martinez. Being able to be a dual threat quarterback, very smart, safe with the ball, not just throwing the ball and, you know, making some great throws out there. But also those guys on the outside are very fast.
So dudes on the edge are fast. The offense knows where they're going with the football. And you heard Travis Fisher say it, quarterback is safe with the football. There are just some things you cannot stop. You ever play your brother in video games? Did you lose the paper, rock, scissors? And did you end up having to play Tecmo Bowl against Bo Jackson, against the Turbo Control?
Well, I didn't, but...
No, but it's over.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean... It's over. You cannot stop Bo Jackson Turbo Control. You can't block Lawrence Taylor in Tecmo Bowl from blocking the extra point. You can run a stupid slant pattern on Madden, and it's over. There are just some things you can't stop, right? It's cheat code. And it sounds like Adrian Martinez is making that right turn from... guy that is super good for his age and physically gifted to now, I'm going to make a play with this offense, with this route, and there is nothing you can do. It's Joe Pesci getting whacked in Goodfellas. He had too much off-the-field BS, and the crime family had had enough. He thought he was going to get made. He can't have an open casket. Just, and there's nothing you can do about it. And if Adrian Martinez morphs into that quarterback where you can rush him and he can extend a play and get out of danger, if he can make the right read on his zone read and keep the football and pick up seven, if he tucks and runs, or if your guy is in charge of trying to cover J.D. Spielman, but Adrian still makes the perfect throw. And I saw this Saturday night when I'm in Kansas City. I was down there for the Chiefs-Cincinnati game. First play that Kansas City had the ball, it was a wheel route with Kelce. The defense had decent coverage on Kelce, but didn't know where the ball was. The guy was going side to side like he had a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other. And it was a perfect throw by Mahomes. You got a quarterback that locked in, that good at making throws, it's over for a defense. That's why, you know, we talk about pressure and getting at the quarterback's feet or disrupting the rhythm is so key. And it is. And if Adrian gets an opportunity within this offense to just get comfortable, he's reading the defenses exquisitely well. He knows what's going on. He is not going to be stopped. And if he goes from a guy that isn't going to force it in crunch time, but he'll make the plays to win it for you in crunch time, game over. And that's like the thing for me that I'm excited about in 2019 when I'm watching this Nebraska football team. They're going to be better, right? They have really good coaches and staff and head coach, and they've got some really, really talented players. They don't have as many from a depth standpoint as they want yet. But you got a guy like Adrian. It's going to be a lot of fun. Fun to watch him do his thing, man. And that's really what I'm excited about. I'm excited to see him, like, be great. Not have to be great, but just chuck it around and just be a stud quarterback. He's fun to watch. He was fun to watch as a freshman, but he could jump into that category if he isn't already for you as like one of the greats to watch, not just from wins and losses and stats, but just from a style standpoint. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's why you watch sports. The guy's a performer.
Yeah, and I think kind of where we were going with this yesterday, Elijah and I were talking about, you know, should Adrian, like, have you seen ESPN's list for top 50 college football players?
Yeah, he was 30.
He was 30 on the nose, right? So we were kind of going back and forth. Some people were saying that that might be a little high, but if you think about that list,
it, at the end of year two, it might have been a little low.
Exactly. What the thing is, we were going through that list, and it's not including a lot of offensive linemen that are making those running backs so great. It
sure.
doesn't include some of like the other positions,
the vanity
that are important.
Positions, right?
Right. So it was more of the way I looked at that is it's the 50 most important players mm-hmm. to their team.
Sure.
So if
he's clearly top. He's top 20.
Exactly. So, like, him being at 30, if you're going off of that criteria, is perfect because it's a matter of, yes, you don't really know what's around him yet, but because you have him, you're pretty okay with the pieces that you do know about, and you're okay to wait for a couple of guys to develop still because you have a quarterback that is – it seems very polished and developed and is still in that developing period. It's mm-hmm. just that's how mature of a learner and how quick of a learner you have under center. And that's a whole nother piece of it, too, is just the smarts that you have with the guy that's taking the snaps.
You know, what is happening is he's matching the mental with the physical.
Yeah.
And you heard Travis Fisher say, yeah, dude, he's not risking the football. And Barrett Rood spent some time touching on that the guy just gets it mentally. And from a style standpoint, the guy is, like, awesome to watch. And he's kind of like Mahomes, that wow factor mm-hmm. of watching him chuck it around. And think of some of the past Huskers that you loved watching. Yeah, they killed people and won. But Crouch was electrifying to watch because of his style. Sue. Right. Mm-hmm. When Sue would take over a game, Lawrence Phillips, power, size, speed, that combination, all like five tools you needed as a running back.
Yeah.
When most just like really good running backs have one or two, he had all of them. Turner Gill was so fluid. And then Tommy Frazier. I mean, Tommy was great in big games. And then the last guy, Frost. Frost was just he was a fullback playing quarterback where he'd just truck people. And people got a kick out of that. Adrian's his own category because of how big and graceful he is throwing the football.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it, man. You saw moments a year ago where you're like, dude, you want to talk about the old NFL, they're over in Hawaii. Hey, let's see if Marino can hit a moving target still. You know, him and his Marino's seeing eye dog. Okay. You know where you got to hit the moving target?
Yeah.
Right? Well, in live action, you're seeing a ball dropped in the air quote bucket against Colorado, or you're seeing him make a play as he's rolling left, throws back right, and it's on target and good night now. Right? I mean, that's what you're going to have with Adrian this second year. You're going to have a guy that is going to raise it up a notch and really be the difference maker in wins for this team. Mm-hmm. And there's not a thing you can do about it if you're an opposing defense.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, he's listed somewhere around 225.
Yeah,
I
he's
think.
Put on like 10, 12 pounds.
Right. So if he is able to like operate at that weight, and still be, you know, 9 to 12 runs a game, mm-hmm. plus as efficient as he was passing last year. That, like you said, he's kind of in, not a league of his own, but he's in a style of his own.
He's in a style of his own because he is going to be given the ability to throw the football as much with this offense mm-hmm. as you had during the Callahan era
right.
or the Riley era when it comes to the passing attempts. Frost isn't going to pitch count a guy. What's working is working. But you're still going to have this physical mentality aspect of where you want to go dominate somebody on the line of scrimmage. So the you know the 8 to 13 rush attempts a game that you hope to see, the design part of it,
mm-hmm.
and you sprinkle in maybe some scrambles too. You know the offensive line's not settled. That's something we'll hear about more tomorrow from Coach Austin as the offense will meet after practice, and there's going to be another open session the first few minutes of practice, which is cool. But even if there's things that break down, he's able to get out of trouble.
Right.
And on the move, not risk a turnover or an issue forcing it. If you can dial back that moment in crunch time where you're forcing it
mm-hmm.
versus you're making the play, I mean, there's your difference right now and there's your win total jump. A lot more into the equation defensively, running game, offensive line. But your quarterback's just, our quarterback's better than your defense, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. That's exciting. That's exciting, and there's acknowledgement there. We meant to hear from Coach Janander here before we got on Adrian. We'll get to more on what happened in the scrimmage. Janander will sound off here on Jakeem Green. And kind of the star of the first part of camp here, let's spend a second here on Luke Reimer. Remember talking with Luke on signing day, and Luke's a walk-on, Luke's a talent that's from Lincoln North Star, really liked the Gators program, have had a chance to see, you know, Reimer in high school. And I remember him on some jet sweeps or the Wildcat covering his games and playing, you know, kind of a safety hybrid role defensively. But Reimer is all set to go to South Dakota State. And at the last minute, Nebraska was able to get him. And you've got some guys that are dinged right now, but that doesn't matter or should not take away from Reimer's, because he's earned this ascension up the depth chart at inside backer. And from a speed standpoint, he has kept his track speed, but he's been able to add weight above that 190 number to more so like, you know, 220, 215. Mm-hmm. And Rude's really happy with him, and that's got to be music to your ears as a Nebraska fan at linebacker. Great to have you in on a Tuesday. We'll check in with Mitch Sherman next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I am excited to say hi to Mitch Sherman of The Athletic, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, what do you know, man? How are you?
I'm good. Busy week of transition here. I'm sure it is for you too. Back to school, and we're getting football in full swing. Sports are starting. Youth sports are starting. So I'm a little scatterbrained right now, but all is good.
Yep. Junior got back to school, and I tried to. I've been gone. I've been traveling. I've been busy, and it's like, you know, Mama was working last weekend, and I'm like, hey, can we go get you some shoes, right? Thinking I'm the hero here. And he's like,
good.
He's like,
good move.
He's like, nah, I'm good. I'm saving up for Yeezys. So.
Oh. You can talk to Coach Frost for some tips.
Right. So, I mean, I'm like, okay, bro, I'm quite happy to put my wallet away, but fine. So, yeah, you mentioned it, and I know Coach Janander was speaking after practice today and different assistants. And, you know, yeah. The back and forth, Mitch, is encouraging. It's necessary, but it needs to happen. And that, you know, it kind of has that old feel of some of the Nebraska teams of the past, where they were really, really talented teams, but you didn't have one side of the ball dominating. It was a really good seesaw back and forth. Mitch, it's been a while since there's been complimentary football in Lincoln. Could you see it more so in 19, where you have the offense and the defense working at a high level together?
Yeah, I mean, it remains to be seen, but I think that's a possibility for sure. I would say entering this season that it was pretty clear coming into camp that the defense had an advantage. The defense will continue to have an advantage with its experience. You know, the wild card for the offense is that the best player on the roster is heading up the offense. So from the sounds of it, the scrimmage on Sunday went down with the offense getting the upper hand in some of the early stages, and then the defense coming back and making a push as the scrimmage progressed. So, I don't know. It's really hard to tell from the you know, the feedback that we get from the players and coaches. They're not going to come out and tell us about big problems that exist within the structure of their practices if they're seeing holes in certain areas of the team. Not to say that they are, you know, but the reality is this is a team that is coming off of consecutive 4-8 seasons, and we haven't heard a lot of negativity in August you know, preseason practices of the past 2 years. So you have to take it with a grain of salt what you hear this year. I'm under no illusion, no belief that this is a 4-8 team that we're watching. They look different. I think there's a different vibe. There's a different kind of confidence from this group. The continuity, of course, is much improved over last year when you were working with the first-year staff that had some challenges associated with that that I think we didn't even really quite understand in August of 2018. But the coaches are also pretty upfront and honest, as are the players, at least the defensive guys were today, that all of this talk is really just hot air until they go out and do it in a game. I mean, the words that I heard spoken multiple times today were that, you know, this is still a 4-8 team until we prove otherwise. And I know they don't walk around feeling like a 4-8 team, but there very well may be some opponents on their schedule lurking who are looking at these guys and underestimating them a little bit because of the results that they produced a year ago.
It's good to have perspective and be real that you haven't done anything yet. You also, there's something to be said about confidence, and you feel that confidence is real. And Colton and I were chatting about Adrian and a couple of the comments made by Rude and Fish, Coach Fisher, just about the difference they see in Adrian. And that's got to be exciting for Nebraska fans to have a quarterback like this that was already good, but when it comes to the mental and physical part, just being potentially better than what your defense has to stop him. From a style standpoint, is Adrian there already, even after a year, or is he working on kind of being one of those Huskers Nebraska fans just love to watch? The production will be there and wins, you think, but just from a, dude, that guy's a lot of fun to watch. Is he in kind of his own category?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally the quarterback kind of fits into his own category, and then when you get a special player at that position, it takes everything up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
He has the opportunity, he has the chance to be that guy. I don't want to say that he is yet, just based off of a very good true freshman year, because there's a lot of room for growth. I mean, this is still a guy who threw 8 interceptions last season, and he wants to cut that down. He wants to increase his red zone efficiency. He wants to cut the fumbles. There's a lot of areas in which Adrian can come and be much better as a sophomore. And I think if he repeats a lot of the things that we saw in his freshman year, it's going to be viewed a lot differently than it was a year ago, when it was just like, wow, every week I can't believe this guy's a freshman. Well, he's not anymore, and he's a leader. He's the pace setter for this team. So, your expectation level of what he's going to do on a week-by-week basis, I think, will follow along those lines. He's a different kind of guy in the way that fans are going to absorb and consume his every move. All eyes are going to be on number two when Nebraska takes the field on August 31st. That's a moment I think that Nebraska fans have long waited for since the drive that he led on Black Friday, mm-hmm, against Iowa in the waning moments. A lot of swagger there from Adrian as he marched Nebraska down the field and never got the chance to touch the ball again in that game, and hasn't since in a meaningful situation or in any kind of game situation since then. So it's been a long wait. And, I think Nebraska fans and coaches and everybody in that program is really hungry to get an opportunity to see him with the ball in his hands again.
Mitch Sherman's with us, The Athletic, Hale Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. So, Mitch, you had Luke Reimer in the media pool of guys that will wow by practice 10, correct?
Yeah, I didn't know a lot about Luke Reimer heading into August, I'll be honest. He's a Lincoln kid, so, maybe you knew more about him.
I knew that they stole him scholarship-wise from South Dakota State,
the
12th hour.
Right. I'm learning more about him quickly as camp goes on, because he seems to have surpassed some of the much more highly regarded kids, like a Jackson Hanna, for instance, was expected to come in and be a contributor perhaps at inside or even possibly outside linebacker, wherever Nebraska needed a body from one of its freshmen among the linebacking core. And not to say that he's done anything wrong or that things have gone off the rails for Jackson Hanna or any of the scholarship freshmen at linebacker, but they're being overshadowed by Luke Reimer right now. You know, he's running number four for Bear Rude with those inside linebackers behind Mo Berry and Colin Miller and Will Honus. That puts him ahead of Joey Johnson, who was a guy that was making waves in the spring. It puts him ahead of those scholarship guys. And, you know, as Mo said today, everybody's going to learn at their own pace. And you may very well look down the line 2-3 years from now and see Jackson Hanna or Nick Henrich. I just want to call everybody Luke now. It's how he's taken over everything. Nick Henrich, who's injured and was playing very well in the spring before that shoulder injury, you're probably going to look down the line and see those guys as, you know, potential all-conference kind of players. I still think they have that kind of ceiling where Reimer, you know, it remains to be seen. I want to see this guy in a game. Clearly he has come in with his head screwed on straight, and there is no holding back in what he wants to do. Shenander said today that, you know, that he embodies everything that Scott Frost wants in one of his young players, in no fear of failure, you know, something that we heard from day one out of Scott Frost. That is Luke Reimer, and that's why he's doing what he's doing 2 weeks into preseason camp.
Just a tremendous athlete when you look at his track background and what he did kind of as a hybrid defender / safety at North Star and what he was used to do, Wildcat or kind of slot end around, you know, jet sweep type dude for the Navigators. And the key thing and with Rude, can you beef up and keep your speed? And it sounds like Reimer's done it. And I remember talking to him on signing day, where he's just a long, lanky, kind of free-flowing dude that is super athletic. And you get one of those guys that can move and can be physical. It's a great combination for the defense, and it's what they want.
You know, I mean, I know he hasn't lived in Nebraska all of his life. He moved here while in high school. But he is the reason that Nebraska has re-energized its walk-on program. He guys like that, because a player, he has a mental and a psychological advantage over a recruit who comes in from Florida or from Alabama or Tennessee or California. He has, even if it's just a couple years, he's been around and he's prepared himself. And this is not all of the walk-ons. Now, I've seen it with other guys. I got a chance to visit quite a bit this summer after finals were over with Wyatt Lever, who's he was a true freshman wide receiver last season. And, you know, he's another one of those guys who I think just brings that mentality that you're looking for with the walk-ons. And some of them are going to jump into roles perhaps like Reimer this season, where they're contributing, whether it's on special teams or as a backup linebacker, maybe even get into a starting role if there's an injury. That's getting ahead of ourselves, but it seems like, you know, it's not out of the question. And then other guys are just going to work their tails off in practice for 3 or 4 years, but they're all going to bring up the level of the program. And this is like a walking example of why it was so important right off the bat for Scott Frost and the staff to do what they've done with the walk-on program and expand the roster.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch, about 20 seconds. What's coming up from you on The Athletic?
I got a piece coming out tomorrow on the defense and what success looks like for Nebraska defensively in 2019. You know, this is not your traditional measure everything by the number of yards and points that are allowed on a Saturday-by-Saturday basis. There's some other metrics that they're looking at, and really it has more to do with, you know, different kind of touchstones, three and outs, turnovers created, sudden change situations, how they handle those. So interesting thoughts from Shenander Frost and a bunch of the defensive guys.
Mitch, you're awesome. Thanks for the time, bud.
All right, Chris. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris@HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Mitch Sherman. Great thoughts on Adrian Martinez and Luke Reimer. Got to listen to Mitch. Can log on ESPNLincoln.com on demand. I'll have that full interview. We'll tweet out that full interview on at ESPNLincoln, the Twitter handle, and some of Mitch's many poignant thoughts will be part of the two-minute drill on the SoundCloud. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Give us a follow on Twitter with Hail Varsity Radio at @Schmidt_radio. I'm Chris Schmidt. Colton Stone at @2birds1stone. We'll hear from Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity next hour. And how about Ranger Rick? A little Big Ten buffet at 5:05 on the way. You can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Is when it comes to why you're excited for 2019, that's something we're talking about. And my thought is this, as far as watching this team and covering this team, I'm excited to see Adrian Martinez do his thing and go. He kept Nebraska in a lot of games last year. He did about everything he could. But he's gonna have a chance to go win Nebraska some games next year. Bless his heart for keeping him in games. And he did go win some games for him. But he has a chance to go win some more games and win some big games in front of you and 90,000 of your closest pals at Memorial Stadium. I want to remind you about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't always enough. The seatbelt prevents excessive injury when you and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, the passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Here's some thoughts from Coach Chenander on Saturday's scrimmage. You saw some video, Kenny Wilhide on Facebook. I love kind of seeing his timeline and his postings on Facebook. So you had about 90 seconds to 2 minutes of there's your sneak peek Husker, leakage, right? There's what you get to see. But Chenander kind of expanded a bit on how things went for the defense on Saturday.
Big takeaway from the scrimmage, kind of a overall theme for the defense was when we had busts, a couple busts out there, assignment errors, communication errors, the offense was very productive. When we were all on the same page and everybody, all 11 guys playing one defense, we were pretty salty. So I think communication and just the offense came out with a really good tempo, I thought, that day. And us being able to adjust to that tempo is going to be kind of the tale of the story here. But I thought the first group tackled well. Second and third groups got to get a little better. I thought we were physical when we needed to be. And we saw a lot of guys do a lot of good things. So it was great for us.
So the way he looks at it as, you know, if everyone's talking and on the same page with their keys, then the defense could go make some plays. If they weren't, then touchdown Adrian. Touchdown Nebraska, right? And that's going to happen. But the difference is you're not going to see a lot of quarterbacks. You may see one for Ohio State, and mm-hmm. you may see one for Northwestern, and you may see one for Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I don't know that you're going to, and you don't play Michigan this year in the regular season, you're not going to see a better quarterback except in practice when you're scrimmaging.
Right.
Don't look at him wrong or breathe on him funny. Be running stairs for the rest of your life. But this is going to sharpen you up and make you better defensively.
Yeah, and I think, you know, talking to Charlie yesterday, a good point that he brought up was, you know, the defense is kind of, and I know we talked about, and Frost said it, that kind of that touch of recklessness mm-hmm. and rather tell guys to slow down than have to speed up, right? The defense is at the luxury of if they're all on the same page, they can just fly around. And if unless they need to be told to change
see
their
ball,
assignment,
hit ball,
right, exactly, and that's why sometimes in these scrimmages it may take the offense a little longer to get there because the offense can just or the defense can just go out mm-hmm. and try to make plays where the offense is trying to figure out what their plays are and then execute them.
Well, and you know, for the offense is always behind the defense until the offense finally gets comfortable and gels and catches
right.
up, and the offense is still a work in progress, and they will be to kick off against South Alabama, and it may take to Colorado before you're settled and
mm-hmm.
c- kind of hitting on all cylinders. That's a good thing that the offense came out and kind of drew first blood per Chenander on that in this scrimmage. So a guy that finally got to campus, and we'll see where his fit is on the defensive line, is Jakeem Green. And Coach Chenander today after practice asked about the addition of Green.
Well, what he brings to the team is definitely D-line depth, and I'm sure he'll challenge for starting roles. Just because he got here late doesn't mean he can't be in that thing. He's got to earn it, just like everybody does, but definitely depth, definitely an inside guy that gives us some pass rush and some help against the run is, I think, where his value's at.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, you expect a guy of his caliber to challenge for a starting spot, but there's some depth now. Think about this if you're Nebraska football. You have what you have on the interior, okay? You have the Daniels brothers. You have Green now. And they're not all, they can only play nose guard. They can kind of rotate around. And then a guy that has got a chance to be good and learn and develop is Robinson, the big-time recruit out of Arizona. I mean, you've got Green for a while. You get Darian for this year, but it's huge. You get Damian to step his game up, and then you've got Ty Robinson. That's the badasses you need in the middle to swallow people and collapse the pocket. And Nebraska just doesn't have one dude they're leaning on. They've got quite a few. Now, the talk of today was Luke Reimer. We've spent some time. You heard Mitch Sherman talk about him. Good on Reimer. He'll need to continue to keep it up, and you know he'll put the effort in to do so. But thoughts here from Chenander on Reimer's impact with this Husker defense.
Well, I think he's the epitome of what Coach Frost talks about not dipping your foot in, diving all the way into deep water, because he's wrong a lot, but dang it, he finds his football. And he hasn't, you know, he's embodies the, you know, desire to excel, no fear of failure. Whether he's right or wrong in the call, he's going to go make a tackle, and he's done some really nice things.
So that's good, because you're going to see different offenses, man. If memory serves, you'll see some spread, you'll see some I formation, you'll see some downhill. And Coach Chenander touched on the need, the different styles of linebackers you got to have in this league.
Who are you talking about? You're talking about Mo, Will, and Colin? Yeah, so I think right now, we all know, I think in the Big Ten, you've got a lot of different offenses. You've got some that huddle up and allow you to get set, and you've got some that are pretty high tempo. So I think those guys are all going to get a lot of reps, and I think they know that, and they've been pushing each other. I haven't seen bickering, like, I hope this guy doesn't take my job, and undercutting him and all that kind of stuff. I've seen guys helping each other, sitting in the film room together, coaching each other after the play. It's been pretty awesome.
Been a good practice report. That from Chenander, more from Chin. We'll get into the Hard Knocks discussion. The college years, that is on the table for HBO. Rick Pizzo's coming up. Derek Peterson on the way. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One of my favorite characters of Major League Baseball, Lenny Dykstra. Lenny had a insane haircut, had 7 pounds of Red Man in each cheek, and was a contributor to the 86 Mets, played center field at times for them, but really came into his own with Philly in their World Series run in the early 90s. So you have Lenny Dykstra, he's signed on to fight the bagel boss dude, Chris Morgan. So that's going to happen. David Feldman's a celebrity boxing promoter. September 7th, Atlantic City, New Jersey. And Bam from Jackass is also supposed to officiate this thing. Something you'll check out. Are you morbidly curious about this? I mean, you know who Lenny Dykstra is.
Yeah.
Lenny's had some issues with the bankruptcy and telling the truth and Ponzi schemes. He gave Daryl Strawberry the greatest nickname ever. I cannot say on air. But it is quite good. And Lenny's just in a bad spot right now. He's not necessarily nice to women, which is too bad. And he's just kind of a train wreck, and now he's going to be a train wreck with the camera lights on, assuming this thing moves forward. Will it get sanctioned is the question. Someone will sanction this thing.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know. Bring back the celebrity fight. You know, the bagel dude versus Lenny. And Lenny, I mean, Lenny, I think he's openly admitted juicing up. I mean, he used to just be rocked. Just rocked. And now he feels and seems punch drunk between all the substance issues and the far cry from 86.
Any attempt to get money, you know?
Well, and dude, he like owes a lot of folks.
Mm.
Would you, yes or no, dude? You're a guy who occasionally will watch Bloodsport, and I'll pay and chip in for boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll go to Jay Bird's house because he always gets fights, and he's awesome, and he won't take any money for him. Like every fight that's happened, he's like, "Yeah, we'll throw it on." You know, you just order it last minute.
Yeah,
it's $120. You want it in HD, and then the guy won't take any money. You know, we can all chip in. Here's $12-15, bro. We're all watching it,
right?
But I don't know. There's college football to be had. We'll be out in Boulder that weekend, so. Kind of off the radar. But I do appreciate Lenny Dykstra wanting to put his money where his mouth is. Or at least, like, glove up for somebody.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever pay for a fight, but I'll watch them.
You're right. No, Colton, I guess you're that guy. That's okay.
Yeah, well, hey, if I can find a stream of it online, yeah, I'm not going to.
Are you good at that?
It.
Are you good at getting...
I found some.
You and OJ. Right, OJ used to do the free cable. Colton finds the free stream service.
Well, they're starting to
like
fight some of them because Reddit was really good about you could find NHL games, NFL games, NBA games, and they're starting to try to
out of market.
Yeah, they're that's the only way I could watch San Jose games. So they're trying to take them away from me. But
And you don't want to buy the NHL.
No, package. No, I'm not going to buy it. No, I watched the Manny and Floyd fight in Spanish, and it glitched out about every 10 seconds.
That was no good. You went with Telemundo because it was free. I love it. Pizzo's next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Big Ten Buffet time at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network. Mr. Rick, how was your weekend, man?
It's been good, man. I've been in the chair in the studio while the BTN bus tour is on the eastern leg of its 17-day, 14-campus journey. So Michigan State on Monday, Michigan today. This weekend, they kind of reset and start to launch into the West. Minnesota, Iowa, and obviously next week we visit Lincoln as well.
Right, and, you know, Nebraska, they had a scrimmage on Saturday. It was closed. Last week, there was some glimpses to watch practice. There's a chance to see the first 30 minutes or so of practice tomorrow. The consensus was that when the defense had some missteps communication-wise, the offense got on them, and, you know, the first team offense. Offense came out of the gate great, but the defense responded well. And my big takeaway, Rick, and I want your thoughts because you've seen a lot of guys make jumps in Big Ten play from year one to year two. A couple of NFL guys, and I'm talking Barrett Roode, who spent almost a decade in the league at middle linebacker, and Travis Fisher, really talented defensive back, 8 years in the NFL. Both those guys are like, you just don't get it. until you see it with the jump Adrian's made. And that is ball placement. So the only play a defensive back can make is after the catch, and then just hosing defenses. Those are my words, where Adrian knows what you're doing, can read the defense, and then make the right read. And that's got to be exciting for Nebraska fans. And you can speak a little bit to the importance of specifically your quarterback making that jump from year one to year two.
Well, if Adrian Martinez makes a big jump from year one to two, he's going to be in the Heisman conversation, because he was pretty darn good in year one. And clearly, after a full year of getting to digest the offense, it's not just his playmaking ability. That's innate for him. You can see it. It just comes natural. It's all instinct. But when you then read defenses, not just better, but quicker, the game slows down. That's the term you hear. And I think that'll be the big difference that you see this year with Adrian. I think the game will really slow down. So the mistakes he made last year, that's where I think you see the biggest jump from year one to year two. You don't see those hurry-up mistakes. It's not nervousness. It's just trying to get something done before it actually needs to get done. The best guys, especially with the RPO and with the decision as to whether to keep or whether to hand off, the best guys are the guys who wait till the last minute and then make the right decision. Now, those guys are few and far between. They often go on to be great in college and great in the NFL. I think Adrian has that ability, and I think he also has so much talent around him with Spielman on the outside. All reports are that Dedrick Mills is going to be everything that's advertised. If Washington comes back, you then have a great complement. And so, to me, it comes down to what can that offensive line do when it's simply, and you're not going to see a lot of straight dropbacks, when it's time to get back there and sit in the pocket and throw the football, is he going to have the time to do that? That's the one question that I think remains offensively.
Well, and that's very fair, because you're trying to replace a left guard and figure out center. Rick Pizzo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Buffet. You know what, if I'm a Nebraska fan, what I probably feel best about is that, and we hear about the maturity factor with Adrian, I don't worry about him trying to do too much, okay? I look at him as a guy that is, and McSorley comes to mind, right? He's a guy that just won, and he made plays, and it was a lot of crunch time, Hollywood moments, right, for McSorley to make a big play, but rarely did you see him make a mistake in the big moment. I think Adrian can turn into that guy.
Well, if he does, then he will be one of the best that we've seen in a long time, because everything you said about McSorley is accurate. He was a guy who rarely made mistakes, unbelievable leader. James Franklin said it over and over again. All the young man ever did, no matter what level he was at, was win. But there's no comparison as far as pure physical talent, attributes.
Oh, sure.
Martinez has way more than McSorley ever did. And so if you are able to become the kind of leader and decision maker that McSorley was, and at the same time utilize your physical tools, it'd be a very dangerous combination for opposing defense.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking some Nebraska football. Rick, want to veer off in Nebraska and get your thoughts here. I know the West is yet to happen with the Big Ten camp tour, but I'm anxious to kind of get where you're at with where Michigan State and Penn State may go this year. I think everyone thinks Michigan's going to be dynamite. They've got the quarterback. They may have the system finally offensively. And Harbaugh's always had good defenses. What's the word on Sparty? I mean, what can Michigan State be? What's their ceiling, in your opinion? Same with Penn State, because they're in a bit of a transition year with what they lost. But both programs will have a lot to say about the East.
I think Michigan State probably more so than Penn State, just because there are more questions at Penn State after you lose McSorley, and it appears Sean Clifford is the guy, that Will Levis is also in that conversation. That's just a lot of talent to replace. And Saquon Barkley the year before, and a bunch of really good receivers. It's tough to recruit guys of that caliber. Now, Michigan State had a disappointing year last year because of all the injuries and inconsistency, and they still won seven games and went to a bowl game and nearly beat Oregon in the Red Box Bowl. Almost everybody of importance is back on that team, including Brian Lewerke, who was never himself last year, battled that shoulder injury. I called their spring game. He looked completely healthy. They have a terrific receiving core led by Cody White. Darryl Stewart, I think, is going to have a breakout season at receiver. and they have depth, though it's inexperienced depth, at running back. I think L.J. Scott leaving that program is actually addition by subtraction, because I think he was as much of a distraction as he was a help last year. So I think that Michigan State offensively is going to be vastly improved. And defensively, they were top 10 defense last year even without any help from the offense. Kenny Willick is back. Joe Bocci is back. You have David Dowell in the defensive backfield. You have an unbelievable D-line when you throw in the Panishuk brothers and Raekwon Williams. I think they could be the best defense in the country. That's right, in the country. That counts Alabama. That counts Clemson. I think they could be that good this year. They have to go on the road, though, a lot, including a road trip to Ann Arbor. And you know that Michigan, as always, has that game circled, just like they had the Ohio State game circled.
You know, Sparty, and that is the son of the gun part of the East, right? If you're Michigan State, are you going to be able to take both down? That's a tall, tall order, man. Can you split? Maybe. But do you slip up along the way? And is your crossover schedule brutal? But I don't disagree at all with you about Sparty's defense. My question with them is, how much help are they going to get on offense, on the offensive side? Let's go to the West, and I know Camp Randall's not been visited yet by the Big Ten. But are we seeing a bit of a change stylistically with the type of quarterback Paul Christ is going to have when you look at Cohn or Mertz? And it sounds like Cohen had a good scrimmage or has produced pretty well. Is Wisconsin going to be more dangerous, like the Russell Wilson style of athlete, dangerous at quarterback? Is that the direction they're going?
I don't think so. I really don't.
No?
You
okay.
Can change the quarterback that comes in. You can make him a little bit more dynamic. You have a guy who is on pace to become the all-time leading rusher in college football history. If he keeps at this pace and stays for 4 years, and that's Jonathan Taylor, you can't change who you are. When you have a guy who's finishing the top 10 in the Heisman both his freshman and sophomore years, I mean, there's only four guys who have rushed for back-to-back 1,900-yard seasons in addition to Taylor. They're college football and NFL Hall of Famers, and he's the first guy to ever do it in his first 2 years on campus. So unless you're talking about Tom Brady coming in and getting eligibility and coming to Madison, then I hope they don't change offensively, because Jonathan Taylor has to be the guy that you win or lose with. Now, he has had issues putting the ball on the ground. Last year, there were late-game situations where Paul Christ wouldn't even give him the ball. Garrett Groshek cut the ball in goal-line situations because they didn't trust Taylor to hold on to the football. That has to change this year if Wisconsin's going to factor in the West.
What's up with Minnesota and their situation offensively? I think defensively they'll be good. They've got some wideouts that are really talented. But when it comes to their quarterback spot, Anikstad out, Tanner Morgan in. They did pretty well with Morgan. What's Minnesota's like identity going to be on offense? What do you want? What do you think Fleck and the crew want to do?
Well, I think they want to run the football more than people imagine. And when you have now, this is assuming that everybody stays healthy, and Smith and Brooks have not stayed healthy. Muhammad Ibrahim is a really good running back. He burst onto the scene last year, helped them upset Wisconsin to win the Axe for the first time in 15 years. The trouble is their O-line has not been good since Fleck took over. He inherited a team that didn't have much O-line depth. They got injured. He didn't do a good job recruiting the O-line in year one. A little bit better in year two, but they're still young guys. So that's where it lies for Minnesota. If they have, much like Nebraska, if they have offensive line play that allows them to run the football, then Tanner Morgan, he can't be Adrian Martinez, but he can be an effective quarterback. And defensively, Carter Coughlin is back, really good at linebacker. Antoine Winfield returns from injury, should be a huge boost for them in the back four. They got a first-place vote preseason in the West. I don't think they're that good. I don't think they're going to win the West. But I think this is absolutely a team that, for a second year in a row, makes a run to the postseason. They'll probably do a better bowl game than they made a year ago.
They could, and I think, you know, you've seen some models say maybe 10 this year for Minnesota. It's all about the injury setup and how deep are you. But Fleck does. What's his best attribute? Is it the ability to motivate? Or does he have a great staff around him? I think he's a very smart football guy, and I think he's done a good job of finding talent and developing it. But if you were to tell me, all right, here's Coach Fleck, here's what he's about, what's his best quality?
I think his best quality is probably that he doesn't care what other people think.
Okay.
He believes that he has a formula that works. And so far, he's been proven right. Now, there are a lot of folks out there that believe it's a bit of an act, that his enthusiasm and the way that he speaks and his trademarks and his terms and his cliches, that they're all part of something that's not entirely him. I happen to think it actually is him. And more to the point, he doesn't care what I think. I don't really think he cares what anybody thinks except his players. And if his players are buying in, nobody should care outside. If the players want to buy in and believe in what you're doing, that's all that matters. When you lose the locker room, that's when that kind of stuff, you know, the sayings and the buy-in stuff, that's when that goes away. But if your locker room is buying into what you're selling, then you shouldn't care what anybody on the outside thinks. And I think that's probably one of PJ's biggest strengths.
Rick, what's your take here on potentially a Hard Knocks type series for college football teams? HBO has not commented, but four teams circled potentially. You have Washington State and our friend the Pirate as a team that may be included in this. Arizona State with Herm. Of course, Saban and Bama, because Saban's meltdowns are legendary. And, of course, James Franklin, Penn State. And James is awesome in front of the camera. He's super dynamic. What's your take? Was this something you'd watch? Is this something you'd watch?
Yeah, it's absolutely something that I'd watch. I think when it comes to the programs that you mentioned, a school like Wazoo or Arizona State is going to be much more likely to buy into that because they want and they even need the national attention, right? Yeah. Alabama and Penn State, they don't need it. I mean, Nick Saban certainly doesn't want it. James Franklin doesn't need it. Now, Mike Leach, you want to continue the momentum that you had last year from that great run with the mustache, a quarterback, and, you know, conversation about the playoff late in the year and all that stuff. And, yeah, absolutely. Herm Edwards, I mean, maybe exceeded expectations in year one in Tempe. Do you want to keep that going and you understand what that show is all about from your time in the NFL? I think those would be great storylines. I'd be shocked if Alabama or Penn State agree to a series like that.
How about Frosty in front of the camera? He's pretty good. He seems like he'd no one wants it, but he seems like he'd be able to handle it.
I got to tell you, I think he is sneaky good because everything that he delivers deadpan. But, you know, you've listened to Scott and talked to him. He's really funny. He's really clever. He's extremely smart. And I think he plays that dumb like a fox role pretty well. I don't think it's something he'd be interested in, but I think he would be. I think he is one of the more underrated coaches in terms of entertainment value and intelligence, because everybody's like, oh, he's a football guy. But if you actually talk to him and listen to him, he's a really clever, engaging guy. It's just that without a lot of facial expressions, at least publicly, I think people just assume that he's kind of a stone-faced Midwestern Nebraska born and bred kind of guy, and while part of that's true, I think that kind of belies who he really is.
You know, it's not just what he says, but how he says it. And I look at his facial kind of recognition or the mannerisms, and specifically like his eyes. Not to sound creepy, but I can kind of like you look at his eyes, and when he's saying something to you, there's intensity in those, you know, with what you're asking him. So I think he'd pull.
And he's so, Chris, he's so into what he's doing at the moment. Last year, I was doing sidelines for the game in Madison, and I went to say hello on the field just to remind him, you know, maybe doing an interview, chat up. We start talking, ask me where I'm from, ask me how to meet my wife. We do a very nice conversation. I noticed Paul Chris is standing right behind him waiting for the pregame handshake. I didn't want to cut the conversation short because I'm having a great time. Scott was so dialed in that he didn't even notice that Paul Chris was there, and I felt so uncomfortable. I'm like, Coach, I want to continue this conversation. I really do. But I think you should probably turn around and say hello to Paul.
Well,
and he didn't even realize he was there because he was so focused and dialed in. Absolutely loved it.
That's pretty good. Well, give him a shout and let him take you golfing. You guys would have a good time. Rick Pizzo, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, we'll get caught up again, brother. It was fun to talk. Appreciate the time.
Always fun, Chris. Take care, buddy. Have a great week.
Hey, I'm Paul, and I need a handshake before kickoff. Good stuff coming up. College football, Nebraska, from Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity. That's on the way.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back to you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A reminder, we are going to be down live Friday from the Hail Varsity offices in the rail yard. Rail yard rims crank up. And Jacob Padilla, Derek Peterson, and Dr. Petey, who's your third? You guys got a Hail Varsity Rail Yard Rims squad. Who's your third?
Christian from Herdat.
Yes, Christian's awesome, and he's tall, which is good. Yep. You can throw it on in to Christian down low and let him do some work in the paint. Realistically, how many games are you guys going to cover? I don't want to know if you're going to win. How are you going to cover this thing?
That's a good question. This afternoon we were talking about what color we're going to wear, and I had,
because that's important. It's not can you shoot? Can you defend? Can you box out? What are we going to look like?
I can shoot and I can defend. But I suggested we wear orange, sort of as a joke, because I have an orange Russell Westbrook jersey.
Well, sure you do.
And they were telling me that that's what I should wear. And I was like, no, I'm not going to be that guy that shows up to play basketball wearing an NBA basketball jersey when he cannot dribble with his left hand. So that's kind of where I'm at.
You know what? Neither can Russ. It's all right.
Oh. Okay. Well, I was going to talk football with you, but now we got to go.
Now you're going to hang up. Hey, give me this. Let's keep with the basketball theme, but on the football field. Loved your story, man, on the death lineup. Lay this out for folks, and I think everyone's read it based on people logging on to HailVarsity.com. But if someone has it, this is a pretty big-time lineup for Frost in the offense. I love what you did here.
Yeah, it was kind of something that I was thinking about, and Greg Smith and I were kind of kicking around before a couple days before that story came out, and he had kind of said, like, hey, if Wando Robinson is playing running back, like, you could do some funky things with a lineup, and it's not really something that a defense could do to stop it. And I messaged back, and I was like, it's funny you say that. That's the first thing that's going in my love-hate. And when we showed up to that Wednesday open practice, and I saw Wando Robinson taking running back handoffs a little bit more than I expected him to, just a little bit higher frequency than I expected him to. And then we heard Ryan Held after practice talk about how, yeah, he's going to play running back. He's comfortable doing that. He's a guy that they want to get the ball in his hands. And he's been spending maybe more time than I expected with Held and with the running backs sort of learning that stuff. And so I just kind of thought, like, if you've got Wando Robinson in the backfield, who's obviously a capable receiver and a capable runner, if you've got J.D. Spielman in the slot, if you've got Maurice Washington, who's tall enough to play wide receiver and who's got the skills to play wide receiver, if you've got those three guys on the field, you can put Jack Stoll out there, and you can really do a lot of different things with that, and you can go up tempo with that, and so you're not allowing a defense to substitute. I mean, there's not a – like, that's a very difficult situation to be put in as a defensive coordinator, because Nebraska could – you know, Frost loves the RPO stuff. You could run an RPO where, you know, four different guys could realistically touch the football on any given play, and they could line up all over the field. They could motion. They could do a bunch of window dressing stuff. There's a lot of versatility there that, as a defensive coordinator, you just don't really know where the ball is going to be at, and you don't really know who's going to have it and where they're going to be getting it from. And when those three things are all unknowns for you, it puts a lot of stress on a defense. And you know, I likened it to the Golden State Warriors that made the death lineup thing kind of like a talking point but the thing that made that so effective was that they had guys who had skill sets that overlapped. They had guys who were so versatile that, you know, some of the things that you give up with, like with the Warriors with size, some of the things that you give up for, it's kind of negated by the versatility and the way that you can do a bunch of different things with this one personnel grouping. And so if you're lining Maurice Washington up in the backfield one play, you've got Wando Robinson in the slot, and then the very next play, you haven't substituted, you're going tempo, so the defense can't substitute, and you've suddenly got Washington out playing wide receiver, and you've got Robinson in the backfield. Like, what is the defense doing to defend that? Like, what are you going to have a linebacker on Maurice Washington? Like, how are guys going to react to Wando Robinson in the backfield? It just, it, it, is, I don't know that it's something that Nebraska can do a ton, but it's something that you can throw out there for maybe five or six plays at a time. You can string some stuff together, and it would just put a lot of stress on a defense. I think it'd be difficult to get a grasp on.
Well, think about it. And Derek Peterson's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at DrPDHV on Twitter is where you follow him. We're talking about his death lineup story. And I loved it because I loved the lineup with Golden State. I loved Nebraska's lineup on the hardwood, right? When they would go smaller, right?
Yeah.
So that was good. And listen, if you use it for five to seven plays, right? I mean, it's enough to screw with a defense, and you can bring it in when you want in some key third down situations. And I look at Noah as how kind of comfortable he is at getting to the sticks throughout his career. Spielman's just a witch when it comes to that slot matchup. And in Washington, you saw it, right? You saw it against Iowa. You saw it against Wisconsin. They had no answer. They've got no hybrid linebacker defender to try and check him because Mo had a great game catching the football. In a five-wide set against Wisconsin, and he torched Iowa for a long touchdown.
Yeah, you could put Maurice Washington, you could just have him run a wheel route out of the backfield, but you could also just line him up outside, which is what they did against Wisconsin. And, you know, you think about that catch on the sideline that he made. And you know, Maurice Washington has the other stuff going on, but the football ability, like, he's a dude. Like, you're starting to see the pieces come together. And I sort of touched on that in the story. Like, this is why you've seen Nebraska recruit guys like Miles Jones and guys like Wando Robinson and guys like, you know, Juwan Woodyard and Maurice Washington, like these sort of like shifty, really, really quick guys that have sort of overlapping skill sets. But the unifying trait is that they're incredibly versatile, so that you can put all of these guys on the field at the same time. Then you could put a guy at tight end like Jack Stoll, who is a great blocker and is becoming a better pass catcher. And you can do so many different things. And then you add Adrian Martinez to the equation, who has the dual threat ability, who constantly has a defense on edge. And there are too many options on the field for a defense to try to like negate everything. And you get exactly what Frost wants out of this offense. You get guys playing one-on-one football.
Derek Peterson's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at DrPDHV on Twitter. Read his story, and the Nebraska death lineup is for sure. Derek, a lot of swag coming from the Nebraska black shirts, and it was a good scrimmage. Wasn't perfect for the defense, but the response was what Coach Chenander wanted. Do you like this vibe the Nebraska defense has as they head into the 2019 season?
Yeah, I really do. They're saying all the right things. They have a nastiness to them. They have sort of a, Chenander said, a saltiness to them, which I think is really a great way to describe it. But the thing that sort of ties it all together for me, and, you know, you could get a defense that says, like, yeah, you know, we want to be villains. Yeah, we don't want the offense to score. Yeah, we want to be, the baddest boys in town. But the thing that really makes it stick for me is when you get a quote from Chenander where he's basically like, look, I tell the guys all the time, we were 4-8 last year. We are 4-8 until we prove otherwise. And when you have that sort of reinforcement, I think it reinforces the idea that, yeah, this defense is going to be a lot better. Greg Smith and I were also talking about this today. Man, if you could listen to the conversations that we have. The defense has potential. The defense has all the pieces that you would like. They're really deep on the defensive line. We talk all the time about the improvements that the defensive back room has made since Travis Fisher took that room over. You obviously have Mo Berry at inside linebacker. You have pieces in the linebacker room. The defense has potential. It was just about attitude for the longest time. Like, can they tackle? Can they run to the ball? Can they get 11 halves of the football? Can they be bigger, badder than the other team? And the strength component is getting there. But if this is the attitude that they have, if they have that attitude of, we are the villains, we want to send opposing fans home pissed off, A, because they lost, and B, because they didn't get to see their offense do anything, that's that's really encouraging. And then when you have that extra reinforcement of like, look, that's all great, but we still got to go prove it on a football field because we still weren't good enough last year, and we have to be much better this year.
Derek, I'll tell you what, dude, the realization had to come from them that they were sick of getting pushed around, right? And that work had to come in the off season from a strength and conditioning standpoint, where, you know, the whole earn it mantra is very real, because you got to invest in yourself when it comes to what you're eating, how you're eating, and then the strength you're gaining. So Iowa and Wisconsin aren't saying, yeah, we're going to run 25 consecutive plays on you and just slam it down your throat. That's demoralizing. They've had enough, and they're also seeing some results on the practice field. I got 60 seconds left, but if they can have some wins, you know, from play to play against a guy like Adrian Martinez, that's got to boost their confidence.
Yeah, and they got a lot of confidence already, and, you know, it's not going to be shutouts. It's not going to be old, like 1990s shutouts. That's just not the way the game is played. But if the defense's goal is to just get the ball back to the offense so that the offense can score points. And, I mean, if you see the defense come out and they get two or three stops and they start stringing stops together early on, like, that's going to do so much from a confidence standpoint. And Chin talks all the time about how a lot of defense is just effort and intensity. And if you're playing with effort and you're playing with intensity, like Mo Berry, and you're pairing that with confidence, like, the talent is there. That's the recipe for a good defense in this scheme.
Derek Peterson, good stuff. Dr. Petey is where you check him out on Twitter, at Dr. Petey HV. You read him with HaleVarsity.com. His column, Love and Hate, for sure, on Hale Varsity Fridays. And great coverage with Nebraska Spring Ball and Fall Ball, quite honestly. And get on down to the Rail Yard. Check him and Jacob and Christian out. They'll cover, is what we'll say. And I'm excited to be down there Friday on the balcony. Dr. Petey, you're awesome, brother. Great work. Good to get caught up. We'll talk soon. And break that Westbrook jersey out.
Yeah, I appreciate you, dude.
See, there he is. I think Junior's got an orange Westbrook jersey. Colton's contemplating it. Hard Knocks, the college years. We'll tell you more next.
And now, back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Hale Varsity. Good stuff from Derek Peterson. You got that villain angle with the black shirts and the death lineup with Nebraska football. That's quite a story from Derek. So we'll get into Hard Knocks in a minute, and don't take it on the chin any longer when it comes to getting that engagement ring. You want bang for your buck, you want selection, you want beauty. Most of all, you want her approval, right, Colton? You're nodding your head feverishly. Yes, yes, yes. Sauter Heyman, Rick and the gang have been doing this for a century plus, and they're incredible. When it comes to interest-free financing options, when it comes to selection, and how about location? They're there for you. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, and out west in Grand Island. Three locations in the great state of Nebraska for you. And maybe you're already married. Good on you. Maybe it's time for a birthday wish and gift for her. Maybe you just got to treat yourself and upgrade with how your watch game looks. Log on today. Find out more. SauterHeyman.com. Okay, let's talk Hard Knocks. So someday I will get with the rest of the world and get Hard Knocks and HBO to go. Someday I will. What's it even run? $10 a month? 12?
I'm not paying for it. So
I know. We've already gone over this. You are going to go via the Telemundo route so you can stream Mayweather Pacquiao 8.
Look, if I have to listen to John Gruden in Spanish, I'll do it.
But there, HBO, this came out, footballscoop.com had this. Mm-hmm. And there are four programs set to be doing a college version of Hard Knocks. Now, HBO has not confirmed this, but Washington State and the Pirate, and we've talked to the Pirate before, about to get him on next week, he's turned down reality show opportunities, okay? He just has. I mean, it's a no-brainer for him to have his own show or do his own type of Travel Channel, History Channel series. People have wanted him and reality TV for years, and he's just turned it down. I mean, he did Friday Night Lights. He did the appearance about swinging your sword, you know. But he's a no-brainer because he's awesome. I mean, look how Twitter exploded with the belly flop just last week, or how gold it is him for telling the weather, chili recipes, fat little girlfriends, you name it, marriage advice. I mean, I can't tell you the number of visits we got when the Pirate went off about the dirt clod wars, or, you know, the truth about Santa. I mean, they're timeless. So he's a no-brainer. Saban, I don't know that. I agree with Pizzo. I don't know that Saban would want it. But Saban's great, too, because he uses the media to destroy his players' comfort.
Yeah.
Okay? You ain't arrived yet. Don't get comfortable. And when he gets really serious about it, it's there's no R and L. He goes straight to the I. So Saban would be hilarious too, but can you catch Saban in like meltdown mode? That's what's great.
Yeah, I think the one with Saban is, I feel like Leach and some of the other ones, they are naturally just like,
they're always like on. That's
right,
them.
Right. And I feel like Saban is more of the like, let's kind of keep it under wraps and behind closed doors as much as we can until it's not.
Sure.
So I think he's more of the reserved type, despite, you know, his fiery attitude.
He doesn't, his program doesn't need it.
No.
No. Okay. So I think Washington State's a yes. James Franklin's super dynamic. He'd be great in front of the camera. Does Penn State need it? No. Bama and Penn State don't need it. Pizzo was right about that. But if you're Herm Edwards in Arizona State.
That's right.
I mean, dude, there's so much to do in Tempe. There just is. You'll get good players, but you're forever banished to 6-6, 7-5.
Oh, yeah.
Because no one really gives a damn that much about your football program or what you're doing. Once in a blue moon, you're good. But it's,
and fans are okay with that.
Right, because it's hey, let's go upset USC.
Let's beat U of A, and you can go 4-8 the rest of the year.
Yeah,
you know.
Take down SC and take down Arizona and get to a bowl game.
Yep.
Beat Nebraska when they come in ranked number one with the snake. But Herm's dynamic. Herm would be great, but Herm also needs it. So the Pac-12 needs it, honestly, right? I mean, Washington
Pac-12.
State and Arizona State would be two. I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I might get HBO. Gruden was tempting. Gruden and Anthony Brown and Frostbite and all this garbage, pretty good, right? But if I get me some Pirate, Washington State should just do this in-house.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like Tom Brady did with the Facebook documentary. Washington State should just do this in-house, which leads us to Nebraska. Nebraska and Frost have enough buzz in their building, but I think if you had a camera following around Frost in Nebraska, and you have snippets through Nebraska's social media department that come out, and they do a really nice job, and the Nebraska fan base gorges on it and eats it up, and it's great. But Frost could totally pull this off, too. Frost is in that personality of being able to carry a show like that if he wants. But he's also super private.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know that you could sell him on it.
Yeah, I think if anybody's an in-house, it'd probably be a Frost type deal. Because
is that something Nebraska you'd be cool with as a Nebraska fan? Nebraska kind of doing their own version of a real world.
I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
Or, and I don't. Celebrity Rehab is what comes to my mind, right? Where you got MC Hammer. That,
well, then it's perfect for Tempe.
It is, because you have celebrities and they're down there to dry out. Maybe that's what you title it, Celebrity Rehab. The Arizona State years.
The reason I think like Arizona State works is they have an interesting dynamic where they're either practicing really early in the morning or really late at night because it's so hot.
Sure.
So you get even things like that. Then you need the buzz, and you have Herm Edwards, and you know, will you win more than 7 games? I think when you get to a program like Alabama, Nebraska, Oklahoma, you know the blue bloods, you can go down the list. You don't really need the exposure. It's more of how will the fans respond to it, I guess, and do the fans really need that inside look? I think it's just interesting sometimes to see like what meetings are like and what the coaches say in meeting rooms, that kind of stuff.
But that's what's funny is like Leach swears that the social media person, or if the cameras are rolling, like their goal in life is to catch the pirate swearing. And the pirate, like, is a normal dude who probably lets it fly. But I think, you know who'd be, God, if you could like have all access, you know who's just like must see meltdown, and it's not fair? Send it to Youngstown State. I mean, the Bo and Carl show?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Unfiltered? There's a top three option. We'll wind down to Tuesday with Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Give us a follow on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at 2Birds1Stone for Colton Stone. That was fun today, man, talking about the HBO Hard Knocks option for maybe the college years. Good stuff on Nebraska. And we spent a lot of time on Adrian Martinez and, again, that praise that happened by guys on defense after practice today. And it is very real. If you got guys like Rude and Fisher talking about just how tough Adrian is to defend mentally and physically. And, you know, think about how many games Adrian kept you in last year and won for you. But think about what he can do from a going out there and winning it. Loved what Mitch Sherman had to say about that drive Adrian put together to tie things against Iowa, right? And you've got this anticipation building. And just stylistically, he's one of those guys that's a ton of fun to watch. And he's in his own like category of kind of wow factor with him making plays with his arms and his legs. So Nebraska fans excited about that. Derek Peterson joined us. His death lineup for Nebraska football is really cool. Good story on where Nebraska's at with mismatch opportunities all over the board on offense. And then you got a mind like Frost and a trigger guy like Adrian. Mm-hmm. The defenses may need to wear those Depends, right? And Rick Pizzo joined us. Big Ten Buffet. That's awesome. We are loaded up tomorrow. We will run Brad Edwards down, and we will say hi to Touchdown Tommy Frazier. Husker legend going to join us. We are excited to be partnered up with our friends at Blur and the folks who put together the day-by-day documentary that will be kind of sneak peeked out in Boulder. And I know Colton, you and Elijah had a chance to talk to Josh Davis yesterday. Nebraska fans love them. Some history, and that 90s era was special. And the guy who, quite honestly, there's a lot of factors that went into Nebraska being amazing in the 90s. Coach McBride on the 4-3 defense, great leadership. But you needed that difference maker at quarterback, and you got it with Tommy Frazier. And Tommy will be by to talk about the documentary tomorrow. So I'm pretty jacked about that. So
yeah, it's talking to Josh Davis yesterday, there's not too much they can give out yet, obviously, because it hasn't been released. So they're trying to keep what they can under wraps. They're still filming some of it as well. So, but basically what he said is they're hoping a lot of what they get out there is stuff that people don't know, haven't heard, interesting stories, different, you know, aspects that went into the team that were more than just look how dominant they are on the field and look how many wins they got. And I think it'll be an incredible opportunity to get a lot of those stories out there. So
that'll be good. That'll be good. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate being back. Thanks to Colton and Elijah yesterday. We'll have Mr. Herbo in tomorrow as Colton's continuing to gear up towards the wedding of all weddings in 2019. Big thanks to Rick Pizzo, Mitch Sherman of The Athletic, Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity. Tomorrow, it will be Brad Edwards and Tommy Frazier. You can log on HailVarsity.com or iTunes for the podcast. Talk to you at 4 tomorrow with Hail Varsity. Thanks.